It's a blessing to be here in spite of our tears. You know, last night I was sitting back there in Grandma's chair for the last number of years as she's wrestled with her physical ailments. That was her spot in that rocking chair back by the curtain every Sunday that she could be here. There was a few in the last few months that she wasn't here, but that spot's empty. And last night as I was listening to everything that was going on here, it was so precious. And I didn't have the sermon finished yet. It's been a rough week to try and get everything done. And so I thought, what better time to try to finish the sermon but to sit in her chair listening to what was going on here last night. And as I did that and absorbed the singing and the testimonies that were coming, I felt the same thing that I felt when my grandfather passed away 25, 30 years ago now. And I was a much younger man then. And I remember feeling, if this is the way a Christian dies, I want to die that way. I distinctly felt that. And last night, I felt it again. You know, Scripture says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And do we understand why? As we feel the preciousness. Yes, she's gone. Yes, we miss her. Yes, she will never grace our presence or our place here with her presence again. But she left us something. She left us a legacy of faithfulness. And that's the title of my message today. And I'd like us to consider that in these next moments, the legacy that Grandma left for us. You can turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want to use these words for a text this morning. And it was mentioned last night, I think Brother Yuri mentioned it, how in Ecclesiastes, Solomon, often credited to be one of the wisest men that ever lived, he said it's better to go to the house of mourning, which is where we are today. We're here in the house of mourning. And we're considering the loss of our dear mother, grandmother, sister. To all of us here at Ephrata, she's been Grandma Rachel. It's the house of mourning. But Solomon says it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, where there's a party. Why? For that is the end of all men. Every one of us, someday, will be here. And then he says, the living will lay it to heart. That's my burden this morning. You know, I could eulogize Grandma all morning. And there's a lot of things I could say about her. And I might say a few. But she's not here anymore. Her spirit is with her Maker. It's only her body that we have. There's nothing I can say that's going to affect Grandma today. But we're all here. And we're still alive. And I believe God would want us, and I believe Grandma would want us, to take stock of our own lives today and take it to heart. So as we consider a legacy of faithfulness, yes, I want to appreciate what Grandma has left for us in that regard. But I would also like us to take it as a personal challenge. How am I living? And will I finish well the way Grandma has finished well? Let's read these verses in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And Paul was obviously considering or preparing for his end here. The book of 1 and 2 Timothy was a letter from Paul to Timothy, who was like a son to him, had ministered alongside of him in many places. And Paul seems to be sharing with Timothy words that he wanted Timothy to understand before he died. And so he said these words, starting in verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." That's an amazing reflection by itself, and I think it's good for all of us to consider the fact that someday we too are going to pass away. Paul was thinking about that, and then he said this testimony, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Those are some powerful statements. "Henceforth, because of that, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And I don't know if he was referring to coming to meet him in glory, or if he was referring to come to him physically while he yet lived where he was. But either way, it's a beautiful challenge for us. And I appreciated the song that the young people sang here this morning. We will meet her again someday, and that is her desire. She can't come where we are any longer, but we can go where she is. And I know that's what she would say. Come to me. Meet me again. And that possibility is exactly what holds out for each of us. The reality that we sorrow not as those who have no hope. This isn't the end. This is simply a doorway to a glorious future that's much better than the past that she leaves behind. And so as we consider a legacy of faithfulness, this is a question that every life must answer. There's many things that we can say at funerals, but there's really one major consideration that truly matters. When all is said and done, when the noise of life fades and the final chapter closes, one question remains. Did they finish well? And I know that all of us who know Grandma Rachel this morning have no doubt in our hearts about the answer to that question. And I'm so grateful for that. My last opportunity to interact with Grandma was Tuesday afternoon. And Rachel had called me, young Rachel had called me and said, Carl, could you please stop in and check on Grandma? I don't think she's doing well. And so I did. And I could see physically she was struggling. And I had the sense in my heart that this may not go very long. And so we started talking about being ready to die. And it was a little hard for Rachel and Clara. But I knelt by Grandma's bed and I looked in her eyes. And I said, Grandma, are you ready to go? And she gave me that smile that Grandma always had. And she nodded, yes, I'm ready to go. And it was a precious moment. And then we tried to sing some songs for her. I think I left my phone down there. We tried to sing some songs for her, and maybe I left it back in Nathan's office. It's okay. But we couldn't very well because tears were flowing. And she sang a song in German. She wanted us to sing in German. I couldn't sing in German very well. I only knew one song, really, that I could sing, Gott ist die Liebe, and I could sing that one, and we did, sort of. But then that wasn't good enough for Grandma. She wanted some of her good old German songs that she remembered from the Hutterites, and she had one in particular. And as weak as her body was, and as weak as her voice was, she took off on a verse of that German song and sang it with some strength. And I wish I had those words in front of me right now, but I don't think I can get them. I had them on my phone. Maybe Marianne can get them up. She had them last night. Because I'd love to read them for you. Oh, you got it? Thank you. So here's the words to this song she sang, and she sang it in German. I'm going to read you the English translation. But world, goodbye. I'm tired of you. I want to go to heaven. There will be true peace and true peace of mind. World, with you is war and strife. Nothing but pure vanity. In heaven always, peace, rest, and bliss. She sang that verse. I'm going to read the rest of this. It's a rich song. When I get there, I will be rid of all sickness and from sadness removed. Rest gently in God's lap. In the world is fear and distress. At last, even bitter death. But there is always peace and joy and holiness. What is the joy of the earth here? Fog and mist and heartache? Here on this black heath are the voices scattered. World, with you is war and strife. Nothing but vanity. In heaven always, peace and rest and bliss. And I can only imagine in the real German how this would express. Inexpressibly beautiful sings God's chosen flock. holy, holy, holy sounds in heaven forevermore. And if you can think about what we've enjoyed in a small measure here today, this morning and last night, but without end in heaven. Grandma's enjoying that now. A healed voice. I can only imagine her singing today. World with you is war and strife, nothing but pure vanity. In heaven always, peace and rest and bliss. Nothing is here but weeping, and joy does not remain. The sun is about to shine, so the night blocks the light. World with you is fear and distress, sorrow and bitter death. In heaven always, peace and rest and bliss. Well, it will still happen that in a short time I shall see my Savior in the great glory. For with us is nothing but trouble, trouble and fear, at last death. But there is always peace and rest and bliss. Oh, who only gets there where now the beautiful choir in golden crowns resplendent and the voice resounds. For the world has war and strife. All its doings are vanity, but in heaven always, peace and rest and bliss. Time, when will you break in? Hours, oh, when will you strike? That I may yet confer with the most beautiful by and by. World, you have only storm and strife, all torment and sadness, but there is always peace and joy and bliss. Now I want to get ready that my deeds may stand before God. That when all is shattered, it is come and not go. Do you get that? Come and not go. World, with you is a cry of fear, worry, fear, and hypocrisy. In heaven always is peace and rest and bliss. When I heard Grandma sing those words of that first verse, it ministered in my heart. I couldn't understand what she was singing, but I knew there was something deep in her soul that felt what she was expressing. We were wrestling with the idea that she might die soon. She might go soon. She might leave us. But her soul was longing and looking forward. And when I saw the translation and I realized the depths of that song, it's a powerful testimony. And so as we consider the testimony of a faithful life, and Brother James gave us a good introduction to these things, but the Apostle Paul, as he shared this testimony, I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He didn't talk about his accomplishments. He didn't talk about his education, and he had an amazing education. He didn't talk about his pedigree. He talked about three things: a fight that was fought, a race that was finished, and a faith that was kept. And if I could present to each of us this morning, that is the ingredients of a faithful legacy. Today we gather not only to remember a life, but to measure it by eternity. And may we be comforted and challenged as we consider these things. So I'd like to look first at the testimony of a faithful life. I have fought a good fight. And may I say this morning, faithfulness is not accidental, it's fought for. And you know, I've known Grandma best in the last 8 years here, since we've been together at Ephrata. And most of the battles that she fought in these last years were physical battles. And I watched her soldier through some very difficult things. Some of the ailments that she had physically were unusual and difficult and painful and embarrassing. And hard for a lot of people to even countenance. And there was mornings I would ask Grandma back here, how are you doing? And she'd say, oh, not so good. But she was still here. And she'd still smile. And she'd still sing with us. And she soldiered on bravely. I'd never heard a word that I wish I could give up. She was ready to go home. And I think she had expressed that she hoped she wouldn't have to see her 90th year. God granted her that wish. But she didn't quit. And that wasn't the beginning of battles for her. You know, my first recollections of Grandma is Flat Willow Colony, when we visited there for the wedding and maybe a few other times. And we spent a fair amount of time in your home. I remember that. And Grandma was always a sweet presence there. And I don't think life was particularly easy for her. And it's interesting to me, You know, I didn't know all this then. I was a young man. I had just experienced major spiritual overhaul in my own life, and I connected with some of these Flatwillie young people, and they too had been through revival, and our spirits connected, and that's why all those songs we sang, when we started singing, we never had the idea of making a tape. That wasn't what this was about. We were singing because our hearts connected around the joy of the Lord and all of the things that it meant to us. And it was precious, and it was beautiful, and it was compelling. And Grandma Rachel was always there as part of that. But she had become a believer many years before, or some years before, that revival at Flatwillie ever happened. And I think her faith was in some ways a lonely faith, as she took some heat for the love she had for her Lord Jesus. And I remember her husband, Paul. He was a dear man, but he was rough around the edges when I first met him, as were many of those old men there at Flatwillie. It wasn't an easy environment, and it was a pretty stark contrast. And when I think about all that, and I think the grandma that we're saying goodbye to today, I have fought a good fight. I don't know if she ever struggled with doubt, but doubt is one of those battles that we face. Is this worth it? Is there an easier way? There's battles of grief. There's battles of temptation. There's battles of weariness. There's battles of physical weakness and difficulty, which she certainly faced in major measure here in recent years. A faithful person, brothers and sisters, is not someone who has never struggled. A faithful person is someone who kept showing up in the struggle and would not quit. That's our grandma. Faithfulness is endurance with purpose and intentionality. I have finished my course, Paul said. And this morning, it's true, there's many start, but not everyone finishes. And there's a difference between starting with enthusiasm, starting with zeal, starting with vision, and finishing with perseverance. Life is not a sprint, and it's a unique course for every one of us. There's no two of us here that has an identical walk of life. Some courses are long. Some courses are steep. Some are marked by loss. But finishing well means that we're going to stay in the race even when it gets hard. We're going to stay on the path even when others leave it. We're going to stay committed even when it costs us something. And Grandma was an example to us in all those things. And then perhaps the centerpiece of Paul's testimony, I have kept the faith. Is there anything more important than that? Paul did not say, I have kept my heritage. In fact, Paul says in Philippians, those things that were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. Most of us haven't suffered the loss of all things for Christ. Grandma didn't suffer the loss of all things, but she suffered the loss of some things so that she could win Christ. And Paul said at the end, I have kept the faith. You know, as I pondered the 35 years, 36 years, 7 years that I knew Grandma from the first time I met her, and how this journey has looked like, and it's such a joy to reconnect with so many of you from 35 years ago. I'm sorry it takes these circumstances to bring us together, but it's still a blessing to reconnect. But as I consider all of those things, and I realize what brought us together at that time, and what has kept us together through these years, it is this matter of faith in God. And you know, this morning, it's not about being a Mennonite. It's not about being a member effort. Grandma's been a faithful member here for the last, 21 years. And faithful is a true word for that. And yes, Brother James, she would tell us how it ought to be and couldn't figure out sometimes why we couldn't see how it ought to be. It's one of the things I love about the Hutterite culture. But it's not being a member at Ephrata that's going to define faithfulness. It's not being a good Hutterite or a good Amish. None of those things. What defines faithfulness? It is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that knows Him in a way that brings Him into our heart and life as Lord and Savior. Grandma had that. Grandma had that. And I believe that's what Paul is saying. I have kept the faith. There's almost everything else in life can be stripped away from us. But faith that is chosen, faith that is pursued, faith that is clung to tightly. Legacy personally impacted you, and I believe there will be souls that will be in heaven because of Grandma. And nobody would look at Grandma and think that, you know, she wasn't a preacher. You could argue she wasn't a missionary in the way we think of missionaries. I think she was a missionary. I also think she was a preacher. But Grandma's life had powerful impact because of her intentional pursuit of faith in her life and the legacy of faithfulness that today we have, even as we lay her body to rest. I have kept the faith. Will you be able to say that? Will I be able to say that when the time comes for us to be here? I'd like to look now at the hope of the faithful. Paul says, henceforth, because of these things, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. What a beautiful promise and testimony that is. And this is where grief meets hope. The grave is not the end. As we lay her body to rest today, and yes, dust returns to dust, but her soul is with her Maker. Her spirit has returned to the God who gave it. And therefore, death is not defeat. Death is arrival. And this crown of righteousness that Paul speaks of is not something that's earned by perfection or earned by a certain performance, earned by doing certain things, but it's granted through faithfulness. It's because of the smile she could give and the testimony she could share on Tuesday afternoon. I am ready to go. I am ready to meet my Savior. And that song she sang, testimony of it. It's granted through faithfulness. It is granted because of a relationship with God. This crown represents vindication after struggle. You know, someone could look at Grandma's life and the things that, the hard things that she suffered, the difficulties that she went through. You could say it wasn't fair. I don't know if she ever asked, if she ever felt that way. She never expressed it to me if she did. I never heard her complain even. I mean, she got tired of the pain she had to deal with, but I never heard bitter complaints out of her. Never. She was a patient sufferer. Today, she's free of that pain. Today, she's free of all those struggles. Everything she had to soldier through in her life, it's over. That crown of righteousness, brothers and sisters, is vindication for the struggle. It's rest after labor. It's joy after sorrow. And most importantly, it's eternal life with Jesus Christ, the one that she loves. And this is a crown that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. You know, we all have our judgments that we will make about Grandma based on our frame of reference. And I believe today they're good judgments from everything that I hear. Sweet memories, precious memories, lots of things that we feel deeply impacted by. But this crown of righteousness is from the Lord, the righteous judge. All of us as humans have flaw in our judgment, and that's why we should be very careful about ever expressing judgment against someone who lives. Because we're not always right in our judgment. But there's one who's righteous. There's one whose judgment is never flawed. There's one who knows us from our inner being. And when we love Him the way Grandma loved Him, when we are loyal to Him the way Grandma was loyal to Him, when we are willing to be steadfast in the face of those difficulties, He sees. And when it comes to this time, He is the one who grants that crown of righteousness. There are things that no one else sees. There's things about Grandma that probably none of us know. In every believer's life, there's those quiet prayers. There's those things that we might wrestle with. Private sacrifices, maybe hidden acts of obedience. But God sees it all. And He rewards faithfulness, brothers and sisters. And this is a legacy of faithfulness that we can look at today and understand the impact. And Paul says, He gives this not to me only, but to all them that love His appearing. And I love that idea because that means every one of us has the opportunity to follow Grandma and go where she's gone. This promise is not exclusive. It's extended to anyone who is living in anticipation of Christ's return and of union with Him for all eternity. Anyone who loves His appearing. Anyone who remains faithful unto the end. Now, I'd like to briefly consider this morning, why do some not finish well? And you know, it's a grief when we lay someone to rest that we're not sure where they were. I'm glad today with Grandma we can be sure. But I've had to preach messages already at funerals where we couldn't be sure. And we had to let the soul in the hands of God. Those are hard moments. Not everyone is able to share a testimony like Grandma has. Not everyone is able, if they know they're going to die tomorrow, to say, I'm ready to go. Not everyone can say the words Paul says here in his testimony as they prepare for those moments. What's the difference? Some begin this journey and some don't finish it. Well, I think one of the things that happens often, and Paul says it in the next verse, in verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica. There are people who get distracted by the world. It's out there constantly. And I'm sure Grandma saw it. Some people do not lose their faith all at once, but they drift gradually and slowly, distracted, slowly compromised, quietly disengaged. The world does not always pull hard, but it pulls consistently. It never ends. And I know that Grandma, well, she had a heart for our young people here in this congregation. We heard it many times. She loved you deeply, those of you who are here today. She prayed for you. She relished the evidences that she saw in you of spiritual life. Why? Because she understood this, I believe. And she understood the pool, the never-ending pool. It's like a magnet that's always there. And when we get weak in our relationship with God, it's like that magnetic pool is there to draw us away. And the farther away we get, the weaker this gets. And it's a difficult problem. But it is a reason that some people don't finish well. Because they have left off their close relationship with God. They have left off their passion for following Him. They've become lukewarm. And that slow, steady, but inevitable pull of the world draws their hearts away. There can also be weariness in the journey. Life can be heavy at times. There are things that happen sometimes in life that just sap our energy, sap our will, sap our desire. Loss can weaken resolve. Pain can cloud vision. Time can erode passion. And if we allow those things to happen and don't intentionally pursue faithfulness as Grandma did, well, it may not be a dramatic quitting that we do, but we just grow tired of continuing. And I know people that have struggled with that. Sometimes there's just a lack of deep root. And you know, I think Grandma had pretty deep roots before I ever met her. But there's no doubt in my mind that as her life continued, her roots kept growing deeper and deeper and deeper. She loved her Lord. She nurtured her soul in Him. She fed herself on His presence and communication with Him. She knew Him. And her roots went deep. But if we live in a shallow experience spiritually, and you know today, I use technology a lot. But I will tell you that technology can be the enemy of depth. And in today's world where everything is instant and social media allows you to communicate with 1,000 people at one time, or 1,000,000 if you're famous, how deep are those relationships? And so we live in a world where things have become shallower and shallower and shallower. And roots live on the surface of a level that just doesn't have much depth to it. And it affects us spiritually, I believe. Because you don't grow spiritual roots without pressing into God in a way that you're not going to get in a 1 minute or 2 minute interaction. There are those times of prayer when the soul presses in, not having answers, but needing the presence of God. And I believe Grandma knew those times. We too are going to have to. Because if we allow ourselves to live in a world of shallowness in our relationship with God, brothers and sisters, we are at risk of not finishing well. Where our faith is built on emotion instead of conviction. Built on convenience instead of commitment. And when pressure comes, it collapses. And then there's the matter of unresolved sin. And this is a challenge for every one of us. Sin doesn't just stain. It separates. And I believe today, Grandma passed away with everything clear between her and her God. I believe that. But if we allow sin in our hearts unchecked, something that we know is an offense against our Maker, against God. Maybe no one else knows. Maybe it's a secret we have that no one else knows. But it doesn't matter. The Lord, the righteous judge, He knows. And it hardens our heart. It dulls our spiritual sensitivity. It weakens our commitment. And today there are many who don't finish well because they never dealt honestly with what was within. And you know, I know Grandma's husband, Paul, who passed away in what, 2002, was it? Two, three? But I asked Reuben this morning, and he died a believer, which is a blessing. But he became a believer very near the end of his life. You know, he had lived for many. I'm grateful that he cleared those things that were in his heart before he passed away. And this morning, if we're going to finish well, brothers and sisters, we must follow the path that Grandma took. We must love our Lord. We must be clear. Why do some finish well? Grandma Rachel was a tremendous example for all of us with this legacy of faithfulness that she left. But what makes the difference? Well, a fixed focus, living with eternity in view. Nothing was going to deter her from loving her Lord Jesus. And you know, we were all about encouraging that here, but I don't think in these last years there's anything any one of us could have done or said to make her willing to turn back from her Jesus. She had loved Him all her life. She had walked with Him faithfully. He'd been there for her in the hard moments. She knew Him in a personal, intimate way. And so what was a few more years of suffering as she faced these things at the end of her life? She never wavered. She had a fixed focus. She knew what mattered in the end. She knew what honors God. She was not a perfect woman, but she was purposeful. That's a definition of those who finish well. And then there's daily faithfulness. Finishing well is not just about one magnificent moment, but it's about many small choices. And there were magnificent moments in Grandma's life, but those magnificent moments flowed out of the small choices she made and lived with every day. Choosing prayer when life is busy. Choosing obedience when it's costly and it'd be easier to not. Choosing truth when you're pressured, those are the small choices. But faithfulness is built one day at a time. And so it is in your life and mine. Those who finish well have a love for Christ appearing. And you don't have to look beyond the song that I read to you to understand Grandma's heart passion. She wanted to see Him. She wanted to go where He is. She wanted to be with Him. She'd soldiered through this world for nearly 90 years. And she was ready to be with Him for eternity. She loved His appearing. Her hope was not here. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Her heart was there. Her treasure was not here. Her future was not here. She lived with a forward gaze. And brothers and sisters, you and I must do the same. We all have different lives than Grandma Rachel, but those elements of a forward view, those elements of loving Christ's appearing must find their expression in our lives. Whatever your walk of life is, whatever the involvements God has called you to and given you to, are you living with a forward-looking gaze? Do you love the appearance of Christ and the thought of being with Him for all eternity? And finally, dependence on God's strength is one of the things that will define a person who finishes well. Grandma didn't have what it took, nor do you, and nor do I. But I know one who does. Grandma knew the one who does. And you can know the one who does. Depending on God's strength, you don't finish well by your own strength, but you will finish well by His strength. And when they are weak, they lean harder on God. We saw that consistently out of Grandma. In those times of greatest struggle, yes, she couldn't say, "I'm doing great, I'm feeling wonderful." No, she wasn't. But she leaned harder on Him in those times. Prayer meant more. The songs meant more. She leaned into Him in a way that was compelling. And so she leaves us this morning a legacy that remains. A legacy of faithfulness that's much more than memories. And that's what we have now is memories. But when you go through those memories and you compile those memories together, you are left with a legacy of faithfulness. That is much more than the sum of those memories. It leaves for all of us an example to follow. A path to walk. And a testimony that speaks long after life ends. What will my legacy be? What will your legacy be? You know, this world defines a legacy as wealth, accomplishments, education, maybe books written, recognition and fame. That's how our world defines a legacy. And someone who values all those things would look at Grandma and say, "What legacy?" I ask you this morning, what legacy? And you know, the answer to that question is going to be determined by the value system of our heart. If we're willing to live for the things that this world offers and pursue them as the things of high value to us, well, we may not have a legacy like Grandma is leaving for us today of faithfulness. And you know, some of those things are good. It's not wrong to make money, but what do you use your money for? It's not wrong to write books. I'm glad people write books. In fact, I wish we had more books, especially among our Anabaptist people today. It seems like we had much deeper people 200 and 300 and 400 years ago than we have today. Although we're gaining that. In the last 20 years, I think I've seen more of it. But God help us to express things that can be for the next generation. But the most powerful books you will ever write are ones that will express elements of your faith. Grandma never wrote us a book in physical words, but she wrote us a book. She wrote us a book. Faithfulness to God, and that legacy points others towards eternity. And it's a direct challenge to you and I today who are yet living. This moment is not just about grandma who has passed, but it's about everyone who is still here. One day, it will be your life summarized. One day, someone will stand and speak of you. And the question will be, did you fight a good fight? Did you finish your course? Did you keep the faith? And you know, if Grandma could yet speak today, I know she would say right now, amen, preach it, Carl. She would want you to hear the challenge of those questions. I know that from what she told me before she passed away and when she asked me if I would preach at her funeral. Did you fight the good fight? Did you finish your course? Did you keep the faith? So I'd like each of us to look deeply inward this morning and answer those questions in our own hearts. Who will receive this crown? The scripture we read is very clear today. It is for those who keep the faith. It is for those who endure to the end. It is for those who love His appearing. It is for those who remain faithful in spite of difficulty. And so, may we all finish well, as Grandma finished well. You know, there's something very sobering about standing at the edge of eternity. And it is. And the most sacred moments I have ever spent in my lifetime, and it's happened multiple times now, is standing at the bedside of one who is very near to passing away. And I'm so thankful. I'm so sorry for those of you who missed that, Marianne, by a few hours, but we trusted into the providence of God. But for those of you who were able to spend those moments by her bedside in those last days, the utterances of a soul, the things they see, you know, the eyesight grows dim. And I think Rachel said her eyesight was one of the first things to go as her body began to shut down and her organs began to fail. And the physical part of her was preparing for departure. But all of a sudden the eyes will open wide and they see things because the spirit is connecting with where it is going. Sometimes they say things and all of a sudden strength comes out of nowhere to do things. Just like she's singing that German song on Tuesday afternoon. Precious, precious moments. It's sacred territory. And it's very sobering for us, and even here today. It's good for us to be here. It's good for us to be in the house of mourning and take it to heart, my friends. It clarifies everything. The distractions fade away. Our excuses lose weight. And the truth becomes simple. What matters is faithfulness. You and I cannot control how long our life will be, but we can control how faithful we will be. We cannot rewrite the past, but we can determine the direction of our future. And so today it's an invitation to renew our commitment to Jesus, to return if we've drifted away, to deepen our faith, and to live with eternity in view, so that one day you too may say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And on that day, receive a crown of righteousness that awaits those who will be faithful. So let's consider Grandma's legacy of faithfulness, and let's go where she has gone. Thank you, and I'll turn the time back to Brother Nathan.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.